You're listening to Mary's Touch Radio. Our program is entirely listener-supported through generous donations from listeners like you. Discover and explore our entire archive of inspirational content at marystouch.org. And thank you for your support.
Mary's Touch, real life stories of Mary's love.
I really do feel that Mary had a role in bringing me back to the Catholic Church.
He reminded me that Mary was my mom.
I always fell upon, if I needed a desperate prayer, I always called to Mary.
I could see that Mary had a hand in this.
She began to speak to my heart.
Mary's Touch, real life stories of Mary's love.
Hi, this is Sherry Lamonte.
And I'm Father Jim Evans.
Welcome to Mary's Touch, the show that brings you real-life stories of Mary's love. You're listening to and learning about Mary, the mother of Jesus. Welcome. It's so good to have you with us today. I have a friend, the kind your kids call aunt, because we've been friends and like sisters for 50 years. And I got a call from Sarah one Saturday not long ago, and immediately, I knew something was wrong. I just could tell it in her voice. So I said, Sarah, what is it? She told me it's Kitty, she replied. And Kitty, by blood, is her real sister. Kitty had climbed up on a ladder, lost her balance, and fell. She landed on concrete, split her head wide open, was knocked unconscious, and her husband wasn't expected home for hours.
Oh, my goodness, Sherry. Well, I had an experience very similar to that with our next-door neighbor. Same thing sort of happened to him, and his story did not have a good ending. Most unfortunate. But besides hearing Kitty's story, our show today is about safety and also how being a little unwise in some of our choices, like climbing ladders that we shouldn't, or putting ourselves in harm's way, maybe we should look upon these things sometimes as guideposts, because they always bring us under God's spell, because it is God's plan and God is love.
There you go. Well, Kitty woke up one morning and decided it would be a great day to paint the elevated back porch. She mentioned her to-do list to her husband, and, well, let's let Kitty tell us the rest of her story. Hi, Kitty.
Hi, Sherry and Father Jim.
We're glad to have you here, and I thought, let's let you tell your own story. So we left off with you having a to-do list, and you were talking to your husband about it. What happened next?
Well, that was the night before, and he claims he told me that I shouldn't do the ladder and wait for him to get home. But that morning on April 16th, I woke up. It was beautiful out. I started to paint the spindles on our upper deck, and I couldn't reach all the way to the bottom. So I thought, well, I'll just grab the ladder, haul it down to the lower level, put it up, and I could reach the bottom part of the spindles if I stood up on the ladder. Hindsight, I don't think I had the ladder in good position, but I climbed up it, had the paint up there, and the ladder started to sway. And I knew as soon as it started to sway, I was in trouble. And that was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The next thing I remember is waking up on the concrete, and I couldn't lift my head, and I was throwing up blood. I tried to wave at traffic as it was driving by to see if I could wave somebody down for help, and I couldn't. And unfortunately, I had left my phone upstairs, but at the time, I couldn't remember where it was. I knew I needed to get into the house and get help. So I crawled up the steps through the garage and into our house, and I went to our lower level, and there was an iPad there. I picked up my iPad, and I started sending messages for somebody to come help me. Not till I got out of the hospital did I realize not one message went through. The 8 messages for help were not delivered, and they're still sitting in my outbox.
Oh.
When I woke up, the strangest part was I saw my mom and my aunt. Now, at the time, I couldn't tell you what they were wearing. Someone asked me if I saw a white light. I don't remember any of that. I just remember him being there, and they were the ones that were giving me an urge to get up. When I did get into the house, and I couldn't get a hold of anybody, my husband came home at 5:30. I had laid out there for over 2 hours. He called an ambulance right away. And once the ambulance came, they took me to the hospital and called Life Flight, and they flew me to Des Moines. There I spent the next 8 days, and there is where the doctor said they didn't think I should have even lived. I was bleeding on the brain. I fractured my skull from the top of my head to the base, and I also had a laceration. My blood pressure went up to like 265 over 165. They thought I was crashing. They kept me on blood thinners. I couldn't stand to have any light in the room or voices. Finally, by the eighth day, I came to, and I was better. Not 100%, but enough that they said I could go home with some rehabilitation. I still get a little dizzy now, and I still have a little unbalance, but it's nothing compared to what I was. But the thing that struck me the most is when I think back of the two people that I saw there was my mom and my aunt, and all I could think of was our blessed mother. I have done enough praying, I think, for everybody, but I have thanked her so much for keeping me here. Evidently, I think she felt that it wasn't my time, and I know God was there too, but I really think our Blessed Mother thought, you need to stay for your family. There's other things that I need to do. And I tell you, it gives one a whole new appreciation of life. I'm so fortunate. My sister Sarah flew in as soon as she heard from Colorado and stayed a couple days with me. And I hardly remember seeing her there. But I know that she and I have talked and I've explained what I saw, and she agrees with me that I think our Blessed Mother intervened for me, because after laying there unconscious for 2 hours and bleeding, and I had hemorrhaging on my brain, I should have been either dead or paralyzed, or there's just multiple things that could have happened that did not happen. And that gives me an appreciation of life so much.
Wow, I can only imagine.
Well, you know, Kitty, one of the things that I just was so struck by, and when you were telling your story, is scriptural, when Jesus healed the 10 lepers, and they were all so overjoyed, and they started off, and only one of them turned around and came back to say thank you. And Jesus said, of course, weren't there 10 of you? And you said thanks so quickly, and you've said that in such a way that I was really struck by it, and I know our listening audience will be struck by the same message that you've given us, and that is to be thankful for the mystical healing which you experienced.
Thank you. It was, you know, I don't feel that I was worthy of it. There's so many other people that have going through such hard times, but for whatever reason, they gave me a second chance. And I always thought I was a good Catholic, but this has made me appreciate everything so much more. I try not to let things bother me. I try and look at each day as a new beginning.
Because it is. But one thing, Kitty, that I want everybody to know is that when Sarah called me, your sister called me, she said, I'm on my way to Kitty's. This is what's happened to her. I said immediately, but that's the kind of sisterhood we have. I said, I'll start saying prayers right away, and I'll put her on the Mary's Touch prayer list. And
oh,
Kitty,
you.
I don't know if you knew, but you had more people praying for you from that moment. And I do believe in the power of prayer. And, you know, when you say, you know, I don't know why. Well, I believe that our prayers, everyone's prayers that was praying for you, had something to do with this. And yes, you would think, you know, there's something out there that I haven't done and I need to be doing, and I better be tuning in to what that is, because I should be dead, so to speak. So when you, now both your mom and your aunt have passed away some years ago. And so when you saw them, this was like, you know, people walking through the tunnel to the light, so to speak, the after-death experience of seeing people, or just before you die, that have been in your family or friends. You're the only person that I've known that has seen this and told me about it. And so what did they say to you?
You know what? I don't remember. Okay. I remember feeling their presence and seeing them. And they are what urged me to get up, to crawl up the steps. And I have tried to think back, and I can't. I remember seeing their faces, and I remember them being there, and it was almost like they were very close. But someone said to me, did you see a light? Were they dressed in white? You know what? I don't know. I don't remember seeing a light. I just knew that I needed to get up and get help. And I think they were encouraging me that you don't need to come with us. You need to get up and move to get in for help. That's all I can say. And to thank everybody for their prayers, even though I don't know them, I appreciate it so much.
You know, Kitty, you said that you were down for 2 hours, and that's a long time, and especially when you're badly injured. And it brings us into the realization that there are two types of time. There's Chronos, which is human time, our time, and there's Kairos, which is God's time. And through the mystical power of our Almighty God, which we can't enter into, but which we know exists, there are times when our own existence and our own times are, if you will, suspended, and we go into the loving hands of God. And for that period of time, we enter into God's time. And God takes care of us in a very special way so that we can go forward and continue to live out the life that God has planned for us. We don't believe in predestination, but we sure do believe in free will. And we also are very much in belief that God is always present for each individual and enters into our world, into our life. After all, the Word was made flesh, and Jesus Christ is there. So tell us about this suspension and what you suspect, if anything, that God kept you alive for.
No, Father, you talk about time. I only know it was about 2 o'clock when I had gone up on the ladder. And I had a couple friends call me, which gave us a timeline that I didn't answer the phone. And when I came to, it must have been 4 o'clock or so, but at that time, looking back at it, I know that I'd laid there several hours. But at the time, I thought it just happened. I thought I fell, woke up, and crawled in. And now I think back, and I remember the bleeding and trying to catch my breath, and I really felt a presence. I don't know how else to say it. Time did stop for me, but it didn't take me over. That's why when I saw my mom and my aunt, I think they were there encouraging me, and I believe the Blessed Mother was too. I think she was like, they're guiding them. And I know God's so busy, and I think she just intervened for them, for me. And, you know, I'm here now, and like I said, I am so thankful. I thank her every day.
I can imagine. You know, I too, well, we're all thankful that you made
it. Thank
you. For sure. I know that, you know, as you said, you're a practicing Catholic, and the things that you do, is there something different? Is something calling your heart? Is Mary whispering on your soul, telling you, and now it's time to do such and such? You know, Do you know why you were saved? I don't know if we can even possibly.
Yeah, no, no pressure on you,
yeah,
Kitty.
No, and no pressure.
I'm still trying to figure it out.
Yeah, yeah, right.
I was going to say, and no pressure, and we will call you back in a week to find out what you have done. But it's like, you know, have you, what's your heart saying? Okay.
My heart is feeling really grateful. And what I think is God wants me to go out and spread his word. I think I need to encourage my own children that they need to practice more and to thank God more and to not rely on God just for help, but to thank him for just everyday things. Thank him for your breathing. You know that you can't look at the past. You can only look to the future. And if I can be here and help them do that, that's what I'm doing.
Well, you have just said two really marvelous things,
yes,
there, Kitty. Spread the word and practice the faith.
Yeah, hello.
Oh, God bless you for that. Yes. Boy, we need to all hear that when we get up every single morning. We say, thank you, Lord. And you know that time thing when you said from the time that you fell until you awakened, you felt that it had just happened. My goodness, I come close to that when I push the snooze alarm.
And but, I can that too.
Okay, but your beliefs and your thanks to God and the mystical experience that you had with your mother and your aunt, and you're incorporating that vision with Mary, the Mother of God, is so beautiful. And I want to, on behalf of all of our listeners, thank you for that.
Oh, definitely.
Thank you. You know, I just hope that I can make them proud. You know, I hope, I pray every day that God gives me guidance. And I don't want to ask too much of him because I think he's given me the greatest gift, and that's life right now.
Yes.
That's a rather magnificent gift.
I was going to say, let's take a quick break, and then we've got a couple more questions for you, Kitty. But we're listening to Kitty Eastland, and she is telling us about her miraculous recovery and how she is appreciating life these days and what she is doing. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mary's Touch, real life stories of Mary's love in our lives. Visit marystouch.org to find out how you can help support us with your prayers and your donations. Find out more about Mary and tell us your story. It's all at marystouch.org.
Hi, this is Sherry Lamonte.
And I'm Father Jim Evans.
Each and every year, we've won a special award from being the best Catholic radio program in North America to being the best Catholic website at marystouch.org. So visit us there at marystouch.org. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Thanks for listening every week, and thanks for your support to Mary's Touch.
Welcome back. We're visiting with Kitty Eastland, and we've just heard a remarkable, beautiful, beautiful story of someone being very close to death and with the help of her mother and her aunt and our Blessed Mother, she made a, I guess we could say, miraculous recovery, but let's ask Kitty about that. Father, you had a question for
her. Well, Kitty, you know, we've always heard these cute little sayings that are on these plaques that when you go into gift shops, et cetera. And I've always heard that life is what happens while you're making plans. And recently I saw one that said, what you make of life is how you handle plan B. And so many times I've been made aware of that in my own life by the plans that I made have ganga glai, as the old song of, you know, old Lang Syne says. So here we are, a glai, and we're looking at the different plans. And I was just wondering how, once you, after 8 days in the hospital and having recovered and gone back into your life, what changes that you noticed or the effect. Now, I love what you said about spreading the word and practicing the faith. That is absolutely wonderful, wonderful. But are there any other things that, and I don't mean to be an interrogator, but I mean, you know, share with us.
I think that I realized that I maybe took things too for granted. You don't realize how quick something can change in your life with the blink of an eye. And that's what happened to me. And I now look at things with a better perspective. I look and I appreciate things more. I mean, I appreciate the flowers that bloom. I know that sounds silly, but I appreciate the people around me. I've learned to say I love you more. I don't worry about the little things, the clutter in my life. I'm decluttering. I'm accepting things with a whole new outlook. And I don't know if that makes any sense, but I look at people and I smile. There's no use to frown. I mean, I am enjoying what's around me. I'm enjoying meeting people. I'm enjoying breathing every day. And I thank God for that.
Well, you know, you have obviously reprioritized an awful lot in your life. And your appreciation of God's creation is a marvel just to hear about, let alone experience. And if only we would all take a deep breath and thank God for that gift of the breath.
Mm-hmm.
The breath of life is when God breathed that life into each and every one of us. At conception, I might add.
There.
I always like to get something in there for the, you know, when does life begin?
Right, right, right. Well, and Kitty seems to have gotten the chance, the opportunity for a second life and to look at it with different eyes, as she mentioned. What are people at your church saying?
There, I've heard so many stories of people that have fallen that have not made it. And that's what I think sent chills up my spine, how lucky I was. But I don't think it was so much luck. I really do believe it wasn't my time. I think God had a plan for me. And that's what everybody says. There's something greater that I'm going to do. And I'm not sure what it is, but maybe it's just touching someone or being there for someone that I haven't met yet.
Yeah. Or being on Mary's Touch. You know, we always say if we make a difference just in one person's life, just one, you know, just one person.
She touches people in so many different ways that she's a powerful source. I mean, I always believed, you know, you pray to Jesus or St. Francis if I, you know, we're driving. But I really believe that she touched my life. I mean, I look at motherhood differently, you know, and I look at my children differently. And I want them to feel what I've felt.
It's very humbling, isn't it?
You speak of that so humbly, and I appreciate that because, you know, humility is often considered to be something false that, you know, we say we use it as a means to get more applause. But in your case, it's an appreciation, and that's what humility really is a sign of appreciation and thankfulness.
And I am humbled by it. I mean, it's been a whole humbling effect, and I almost hate talking about it to people because it's like I visually look great. So when someone asks me, how are you doing? I'm like, I'm almost 100%. I still have problems, and my husband sees that, but there's no need to pass that on to him. You know, I'm doing good, and that's what matters.
There's a marvelous little story written by Antoine de Saint-Exupéry called The Little Prince. And throughout the entire book, he's always concerned about the planet that he came from, where he needs to be back there, you know, cleaning out the volcanoes that are on it and tending to his roses because they're so defenseless. They only have a few thorns to protect them, and they need him to be there to care for them. And so he worries about being gone so long. And sometimes in this world, we have those moments when we start to worry about how we're not there to clean out the volcanoes and tend to our roses. And you have summed it up in spread the word and practice the faith. I may put that on a little piece of paper and pin it on my wall or something, because it really struck a chord with me today.
And isn't it beautiful? And the little Le Petit Prince, the little prince, he says what's important is what's in your heart.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, he said it so beautifully, didn't he?
Yes. Yeah, in such few words. But just like Kitty, you know, I'm spreading the word and practicing the faith. And you want your children to know how much you love them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I thought these things of you before the accident, but the way you're saying them now, I get it.
Yeah.
It is different.
Oh, it is so great.
Thank you.
So great.
Yes. Yes. And Kitty, we wish you well. And maybe, you know, part of your mission was to be on Mary's Touch. So just one other person could hear your story and say, I can spread the word and I can practice my faith. And perhaps I can tell my children how much I love them, like Mother Mary loved her son Jesus. It just doesn't get much better than that.
That sure doesn't, Sherry. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
It's just like the program that Mary's Touch has started with, giving out the rosary.
Yes, and speaking of that, Father and I have something exciting to share with all of our listeners, and we're asking you to say a rosary with us on October 30th at 12 noon, wherever you are. October is the month of the rosary. And so Mary's Touch, we thought, let's all honor our Mother Mary together. So if you don't have a rosary or you know someone who needs a rosary, email us at rosary@marystouch.org. Send us your name and address. Send it to rosary@marystouch.org, and we will send you a beautiful rosary absolutely free.
So wonderfully said, Sherry, and we're hopeful that all the people will join us in this. And if you're having trouble connecting with Mary, just ask Jesus to introduce you to his mother, and I'm sure you will have that introduction in short order.
There you go. Father, we always end our show with a gift to everyone who's listening, and that is your blessing.
Almighty God, we thank you for all the blessings of this world, and we now ask that they be shared with everyone. Bless us all, Almighty God, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
This program is produced by Mary's Touch, a nonprofit corporation dedicated to bringing you the love of Mary and her son, Jesus. If you have questions, comments, or a story to share, write to us at Mary's Touch, P.O. Box 341991, Austin, Texas 78734, or email radio@marystouch.org. For more stories or to find out more about Mary, visit our website at marystouch.org.
You're listening to Mary's Touch Radio. Our program is entirely listener-supported through generous donations from listeners like you. Discover and explore our entire archive of inspirational content at marystouch.org. And thank you for your support.